Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Today is our psychology unit, and we're going to be talking about when you say yes or when you say no, and when someone tries to put their foot in the door. And I guess it also kind of implies that some people are easy to take advantage of if they say yes to everything when people request something from you.
Yeah, I've noticed that some people take advantage of the willingness and goodness of others to help out sometimes. And then they just keep taking people for granted, perhaps. So sometimes you need to really put your foot down and not agree to everything that's requested of you. But there are some techniques to this. It's interesting how our minds work. So if you study psychology, sometimes you're better equipped not to be taken advantage of. What we're going to do first, guys, is we're going to listen to part one of our article, and then Tom and I will be back to explain it. Why a small yes can change everything. You're sitting in class when a classmate asks to borrow a pencil. It seems like a small favor, so you agree without hesitation. The following week, the same classmate asks to share your notes. Later, they request help with a group project. You agree each time. After all, you helped out the first time. But before you know it, it has become automatic. This scenario demonstrates the foot-in-the-door technique, a psychological concept that shows how agreeing to small, acceptable demands makes it easier to accept larger ones later on. The name for this strategy comes from door-to-door salespeople who would wedge a foot in the doorway so customers had no choice but to listen. First explored by psychologists in the 1960s, the technique works by exploiting our psychological need for consistency. Once we establish ourselves as cooperative, contradicting that self-image causes discomfort. Therefore, the initial yes increases the likelihood of agreeing to another appeal, even if the second favor is much bigger.
Okay, it's time for us to discuss the first part of our lesson for today. And the title here is Why a Small Yes Can Change Everything. So here, yes is serving as a noun. It just refers to when you say yes. So if you give somebody a small yes, that might change everything because then it starts with other requests and other questions following the first one. So it's a small yes. Can I borrow your pencil? Okay, yes, sure. And then, of course, they start asking for more.
Can I borrow your new car, your brand new sports car?
Yes, indeed. Can you give me $1 million, you know? But in any case here, yes, everything starts with a small yes. And here in the first paragraph it says, you're sitting in class when a classmate asks to borrow a pencil. Okay, so this is a scenario. Imagine this scene where you're sitting in class, you're a student, and a classmate asks to borrow a pencil. Gee, I forgot to bring my pencil today, and I really need one to do this homework assignment. Can you lend me a pencil, or can I borrow a pencil from you?
Yeah, be careful with these two words, guys, borrow and lend, because it's not the same in Chinese. So borrow is when you take something from someone with the intention of returning it because you don't own it, right? So you're going to take it temporarily, use it, and then return it. To lend is the person giving that thing to someone temporarily, and they expect it back. They don't expect you to keep it forever. So borrow, I'm going to borrow money from the bank. The bank is going to lend me money, and then I'm going to repay the bank. So those are important differences between borrow and lend. Now, it seems like a small favor if someone just says, hey, can I borrow a pencil? The problem with me, though, Tom, if you ever borrow a pen or a pencil from me, I usually forget to give it back. Not on purpose, but I don't remember that it's yours. So sometimes I'll say to the person that I borrow things from, I'll say, hey, remind me to give it back to you because I will forget. So sometimes these things sound like a really small favor. A favor is just an act of kindness to someone, right? That you do to help someone. Most of us are always giving out favors to friends and family. That's what we do. That's how we show people that we like them or even that we love them. So sometimes we agree without hesitation. What's hesitation, Tom?
Hesitation is when you basically wait to do something. You can't really decide. And the verb, of course, is to hesitate. So somebody might ask you to do something and you stop and think, gee, should I do that or should I not do that? I don't know. So you're hesitating there. If you don't hesitate, you react immediately. But here, hesitation, of course, is the noun. That's when you hesitate. And yes, you agree without hesitating, or you agree without hesitation. Now, the following week, the same classmate asks to share your notes. So remember, you agreed to lend that person your pencil without hesitation. You said yes right away. You didn't stop to think about it. And so the next week, that same classmate asks to share your notes. So maybe the classmate says, well, I wasn't able to go to class last time, so can I see your notes? Can I borrow your notes? Can you share your notes with me? And so that's like the second request, because that person is thinking, well, you lent me that pencil so easily, it's going to be very easy for you to lend me your notes.
Yeah, but if that friend or classmate was attending the same class and they still want to share your notes, I would say, you need to be listening and taking good notes yourself. Although I did have some classmates, some friends, in fact, that were really good at taking good notes. But yeah, be careful when you ask for things like that. Later, though, here comes the bigger request. They want you to help with a group project. You agree each time. After all, you helped out the first time, but before you know it, it has become automatic. Where you don't really consider things, you know, don't just willingly give without thinking about it first. I know with some people, it will always be automatic with my family or with my close friends because they never ask for things that are too big. And we have that kind of relationship. But be careful with this stuff. It says here in the next sentence, this scenario, or some people say scenario, but most people say scenario, guys. It demonstrates that foot in the door technique. Notice we've got hyphens between these words, foot in the door. They're taking all of these words and they're turning them into an adjective or a 形容词. So it demonstrates or shows this technique. What's a scenario? It's kind of a made up or imagined situation that people will talk about. It's not real. You know, if this happens in this situation, in this scenario, you could actually substitute situation for this word scenario, or maybe in these circumstances, or in this case, you could use that as well. It demonstrates this foot in the door technique, which is what our article is all about.
Yeah, we'll explain that in just a couple of seconds here, but the foot in the door technique is a psychological concept that shows how agreeing to small acceptable demands makes it easier to accept larger ones later on. I would also say that this might be a form of psychological manipulation with students. Like some students probably don't really need to borrow that pencil. They probably don't really need to borrow their notes. They just want to see what they can get away with, and they can kind of control you and they can have power over you. Of course, this is part of bullying and things like that. In school, kids are doing that all the time. They're testing their borders to see what they can get away with.
They're testing their boundaries.
Boundaries, there you go, yeah. Testing their boundaries. And yeah, they're just trying to see who they can take advantage of, who's a sucker, who's a pushover, or
what's
whatever.
What's a sucker, Tom?
A sucker is somebody who is easily cheated. A pushover, that's another word for that. So it's somebody that can be cheated very easily. And yes, indeed, this is a scenario that demonstrates this foot-in-the-door technique. And here we've got acceptable demands. Okay, demand can be both a verb and a noun. Here it's being used as a noun. That's just when somebody wants something from you with a lot of force. Okay, I demand this, or I have a demand for you. You have to do this. If you don't do it, you're going to be in big trouble. It's a little stronger than a request. A request is when you ask somebody for a favor or something. You can do it if you want to. You don't have to do it. But a demand means that if you don't do it, you might be in trouble.
Yeah. Notice here it's a psychological concept, concept meaning idea. If it's psychological, guys, it's kind of a mixture of mental and your emotions. So it's your mind, your emotions, and your behavior all together. So it's an interesting study. So moving on to the next paragraph, it says the name for this strategy comes from door-to-door salespeople who would wedge a foot in the doorway. So customers had no choice but to listen. They couldn't shut the door on them because they didn't want to hurt the person's foot. So when I was growing up and when Tom was growing up, there were a lot of door-to-door salesmen. They would either be selling things like encyclopedias, which we don't use anymore. We just go online. But they would sell that, you know, combination of books. That's how my family got our encyclopedias, was a door-to-door salesperson. It's usually a guy. It could be a girl. They might be selling vacuum cleaners, things like that. Now, if you wedge your foot somewhere or just wedge something, it means you're forcing something into a very narrow space, kind of a tight space. So they would put that foot in before the housewife could shut the door on them, or maybe the husband was home at night. They wanted to get those people to listen to them. What's the doorway, though?
That's the place where the door opens in your house, maybe the front door. And, of course, someone will knock on the door. They'll ring the doorbell, ding dong, and you'll go to the door and see who it is. Where I'm from, a small town, people aren't too scared of people trying to break into the house or steal something. Here in Taiwan, I don't think people will open the door that easily for you. But, yeah, again, where I'm from, people are a little bit less scared of people. So, yeah, they'll ring the doorbell, and then you'll open the door and say, what can I do for you today? Who are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And so they've kind of got their foot in the door, and they're going to say, well, you know, you want to know the advantages of having a fine set of encyclopedias. You know, your kids are growing up, and they can look up information and things like that. Of course, encyclopedias were popular 30 or 40 years ago. Now we can get that information online. I do remember, as I told you before, there used to be this guy who would come to my house and knock on the door. He was the Raleigh man. He was selling Raleigh products, and he always tried to sell my mother these products, and finally one day she said, I've had enough of this. She told him to go away, and they kind of had an argument, and eventually he stopped coming. But anyway, that's an example of someone who sells things door to door. They just go on people's doors, knock on them, and try to sell people something.
Yeah, so this concept or this technique was explored by psychologists. These are people who actually do study this in school and get degrees in psychology. This was studied or explored in the 1960s, a long time ago. And the technique works by exploiting. Exploiting means to take advantage of someone or to use someone or something unfairly or selfishly for your own benefit. You're not thinking of the other person. You're thinking of yourself when you're exploiting somebody. They're exploiting our psychological need for consistency or having things go ahead every day on a very smooth basis. You can expect the same thing again and again. Consistency. Somebody who always comes to work on time is very consistent in getting to their job on time, which is a great quality. So we think that that's a good thing. So once we establish ourselves as cooperative in our own minds, if you're cooperative, you're willing to work with other people to get along. You're cooperating with them. Once we establish ourselves as cooperative, this is contradicting that self-image. If we turn people down and that causes our own beings to feel discomfort, if you contradict something or someone, you're saying the opposite of what is really true, or you're going against their opinion almost directly. So it feels uncomfortable if we say no, because we want to see ourselves as being really cooperative and working together with other people.
That's right. So we establish ourselves as cooperative. So contradicting that self-image will cause discomfort. So to contradict just means to do the opposite thing. And discomfort just means you feel uncomfortable. You're not quite sure what to do. Therefore, the initial yes, the first yes that you give someone, increases the likelihood of agreeing to another appeal, which is another request or maybe even a demand,
mm-hmm.
even if the second favor is much bigger. And yes, they might get bigger and bigger over time until somebody starts realizing, hey, you're taking advantage of me. I'm going to put my foot down. I'm going to take a stand here and not let you use me so much anymore. Okay, we're at the end of the first part of our lesson for today. Let's take a break and listen now to our Chinese teacher.
听众朋友大家好，我是安娜。 我们今天要带大家看一个心理学单元，也就是一个得寸进尺的心理操纵术。哦，这个很重要耶，因为我们要了解之后才能保护自己，对不对？好，可是文章啊，设计成有一点点困难度的篇章结构，而且篇章结构现在都是五选四，所以真的是有一点困难哦。好，可是这到底要怎么做啊？通常我们还是会觉得说啊，稍微快速的扫描一下选项，然后待会回来看文章的时候啊，我们对整个篇章跟它的文章的结构大概会有一点预测，接下来可能会讲什么，或者是在某样的主题当中啊，比如说开头当中反转举例子，它大概会在文章的哪一个位置。所以我们很快速在看选项的时候，不是只有看中文意思哦，我们看选项的时候要稍微预测一下这个选项应该会出现可能在结尾或开头，或者是反对的意见或者赞成的意见等等。好，所以我们来看 A 选项。 A 选项他就说啦，他说这种技巧啊，最早由心理学家是1960年来探讨，而它的运作原理就是利用我们一种心理需求，就是我们对一致性的需求。而 A 选项当中啊，可能我们看到了逗点之后，这个 technique 技术后面有一个 by exploiting， exploit 就是 use， 就是利用的意思。那关键字其实是在最后面，叫做 consistency， 就是一致性。一致性是什么？哦，这个心理需求就是我如果前面说对，后面如果突然说不对，好像我自己很矛盾，所以我一开始不要呢，后面应该也不要到底，应该是这样子的感觉。好，所以一开始如何如何，感觉上这个选项是在谈有一个心理现象它的历史一开始如何。那 B 选项呢，我们来看看 B 选项，他说啊，同时啊，保持警觉也很重要啦，这样就可以避免被操弄啦，这样就可以保护自己，对不对？ B 选项，所以它是感觉上是一种做法，同时是个关键哦，同时你要去察觉也很关键，因为就可以帮助你。逗点之后的 as 是 because 的意思。再来 C 选项就说啊，心理学家啊，就说在生活上啊，其实这个技巧是根本就没有效的啦，所以讲到心理学家的评论。好， D 选项我们来看到他的文意是说，你每次都答应啊，毕竟你第一次就帮忙啦，不知不觉答应好像就自然反射动作嘛，所以这个 D 选项的 you agree each time， 你每次都答应，那前文应该会有讲到第一次答应、第二次答应、第三次答应之类这样的情境哦。接下来的 E 选项他说的是，举例来说啊，政治候选人就会请选民给一些小小支持啊，然后再提出捐款啊，这种比较大的一些要求。所以最后的 E 选项来到了 for instance， 例如，你就要看懂例如之后他谈的是什么。哦，原来例如这个某些人就会利用这一种这个 psychology 的这种心理学的一些 technique 来做一些事。那接下来就进入举例子哦。好，所以我们很快速的回到文章当中，我们就看到第一段啊，就讲到的情景哦，你坐教室哦，同学跟你借笔，然后呢又跟你借笔记，你也同意，然后就说我们来小组报告一起来哦，好，你又同意，这不是我们刚刚说的有一个 scenario， 你一开始就一直同意，后来又同意，第三次又同意，不知不觉好像同意就是自然的吗？所以来到了第一题啊，也就是第一段第五句，我们的第一题答案应该就要选 D 这个答案。那当然在第一段当中啊，我们还是要看一下第六句啦，因为这第六句有点长。这个第六句就说，这个 scenario 其实就 demonstrates 这个整个所谓的心理学的 the foot in the door， 得寸进尺这个 technique 是什么。好，只要有专有名词出现啊，逗点之后通常都会有一个同位语。在这边同位语我们看到的三个字是 a psychological concept， 而后面呢带着一个限定用法的关系子句，用 that 一直到句尾来说明这个所谓的心理概念是什么。所以现在呢这个一只脚踏进去啊，然后接下来得寸进尺这样。所以你看第二段就来到了历史啦，一开始就说啊，原来啊是因为挨家挨户的推销员，你开门之后门卡在这个门口里面呢，就是他那一只脚，所以你门打开了之后就只能听他讲话，讲了之后可能又会买，所以就别无选择了，有没有？好，所以这种技巧呢就是最早是心理学家就探讨了。所以你看我们第二段的时候不知不觉我们讲到他历史的时候啊，就会想到我们刚刚 A 选项当中哦，一开始1960年代哦，心理学家就研究这样子的一个现象，所以第二题答案选 A。 而且呢，我们在第二段的第三句还接着文艺探讨 once， 这里是连接词哦，一旦。一旦我们定位成乐于合作，后面就不能够 say no 了。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's time for us now to move on to part two of our lesson. Let's listen first.
A common place to observe this strategy is in marketing.Where businesses use it to boost sales. A store clerk may offer free samples before convincing customers to buy a set. However, this principle also appears in many areas of everyday life. For instance, political candidates begin by requesting small signs of support from voters before seeking larger commitments, like donations. Similarly, in therapy,Counselors might start by asking clients to share minor details, which eventually encourages deeper conversations. This technique can help you make more persuasive requests. At the same time, awareness is crucial, as it helps you avoid manipulation and make more thoughtful decisions in daily life. If you're on the receiving end, ask yourself, Am I agreeing because I truly want to?Or simply because I've said yes before. Sometimes the wisest choice is to consider what you're truly willing to commit to. Okay, guys, let's dive into part two that you've just listened to. So a common place to observe this strategy of a foot in the door technique is in marketing.Where businesses use it to boost or increase sales. Of course, marketing is when you have plans in order to increase the sales or maybe services that your company is offering to other people. So you're promoting, you're selling, you're distributing products or services through marketing. So you can see this particular technique very clearly in marketing.
Indeed. And of course, if you want to be a successful salesman or sales lady, you should know about this technique.And yes, you want to boost your sales. For example, we've got a store clerk here. They may offer free samples before convincing customers to buy a set. So indeed, if you go to a department store or to a big hypermarket or something like that, they will offer you some free samples. And then they will continue to talk to you and they'll try to convince you to buy more, to buy a set of something, which means all sorts of different things together as a group.And here we've got the verb convince, convincing, is from the verb to convince, which means to try to persuade somebody to accept your position, and they'll probably be convinced. They'll think, okay, I guess that sample was pretty tasty. I think I'll buy a whole set.
Yeah, it's a great technique, and it works quite frequently in grocery stores and department stores as well. I remember growing up with my mom going to the cosmetic counters,And getting them to give her free samples, and then she would be persuaded to buy that entire set, which was usually so expensive. You could also use synonyms like sway someone to do something, convince somebody to let you do something. Sometimes our kids out there that are listening to this, they use the power of persuasion to convince their parents to let them do something they want to do. Maybe it's... taking an extra basketball course because they love basketball, or maybe you want to study abroad and you have to convince your parents of that. But, it is often used in marketing. We've seen that here. Now, it says, however, this principle also appears in many areas of everyday life. These are circumstances or scenarios that all of us confront all the time.
Indeed. So let's give you some examples from everyday life. One word, everyday life. For instance, political candidates begin by requesting small signs of support from voters before seeking larger commitments like donations. So, yeah, we've all received these phone calls from candidates or something. They're requesting small signs of support. They want you to come out and maybe attend a rally or something like that.And if you do that, then they see that you're willing to do that. So they ask for other commitments, like Would you like to join the campaign team and be a volunteer, or even better, would you like to make a donation, give us some money to help us with our campaign and get us elected?
Tom mentioned something that I wanted to pick up on. Every day is an adjective. It just means common types of life, ordinary life. It's an adjective again. But if you say you're doing something every single day, that means you're doing something daily. Please separate those two words. That's really important. So yeah, this technique is used by these political candidates or candidates. You can say it either way. Also in therapy, say someone's going to, therapy, counseling, things like that. The counselors might start by asking clients to share minor details, just little pieces of information. Maybe they have somebody that doesn't like to open up and talk about their personal lives. That often happens in therapy. And so counselors or therapists will get them to open up by asking for little things first. And then that eventually encourages these people to reveal deeper confidences as they're in therapy. Therapy is treatment that's intended to heal a disorder. Usually it's a mental disorder, or it could be therapy, physical therapy. But here I think they're talking about mental therapy.
Right. Maybe for soldiers who served in Afghanistan or Iraq or something, they have difficulty talking about the horrors that they saw. So they ask them little questions, and eventually they get them to get these things off their chest. To open up, indeed, and to maybe relieve themselves of some pressure and things like that to make their lives a little more manageable. So that's a good technique there. They're not trying to take advantage of these people. They're trying to help them. And moving on now to the final paragraph for today, it says, this technique can help you make more persuasive requests, whether you're doing something good or bad here. If something's persuasive, it involves persuasion, which means you're trying to convince someone to do what you want them to do, okay? So, of course, politicians want to be persuasive. Hey, you should vote for me and not for the other candidate. If you vote for that person, they'll destroy the country. They're awful. They're evil. But if you vote for me, hey, you know, I'm a really great person. I'll help you out. I understand the feelings of the working person or whatever. So we're trying to persuade people to do something. And persuasive here is an adjective. These are requests that are persuasive.
Yeah, maybe you're able to convince them through reasoning, or maybe you're appealing to something that they appreciate. But yeah, you could also use compelling to make more compelling requests, something that draws people in. At the same time, awareness is crucial. If you're aware of something, you're conscious of something, you're not being taken advantage of, you know exactly what's going on. So it helps you avoid manipulation. Remember, if you're manipulated, someone has used something about you and how you feel unfairly against you for their own benefit, not for your benefit. And it helps you if you're more aware of this technique, you can make more thoughtful decisions in daily life. Don't let people take advantage of you. If you're on the receiving end, ask yourself this question. I think it's good. Am I agreeing to this because I truly want to, or simply because I've said yes before, or maybe I have a close relationship with this person? You need to ask yourself those questions.
Exactly. And I also suspect that a lot of people in school, for example, may be lonely. They don't have a lot of friends, so they want to please people. And then people pick up on this, mm-hmm. and they start to take advantage of you, and you'll feel even worse after that. So yeah, it's kind of hard to figure out how to handle these different kinds of situations. But again, you need to ask yourself, hey, am I just being too nice, or are people taking advantage of me? And that's because I said yes so easily before. So sometimes the wisest choice is to consider what you're truly willing to commit to. So here we've got the word commit. That just means to sort of make a promise. If you want to commit to a relationship, for example, you agree to be someone's boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, or to make a commitment. You could also make it a noun, like to sign a contract for some kind of business deal or something like that. You're going to make a commitment, or you're going to commit to the deal to make yourself responsible for that deal or whatever. So yes, indeed, you have to sort of figure out exactly your relationship with other people. and whether or not they're using you or not. Okay, that brings us to the end of our discussion for today. Let's listen now to our Chinese teacher.
接着我们就看一下这个策略的一些应用，当然在行销当中就很常见啦。好，所以在第三段既然谈到应用 marketing 的时候，我们就会看到怎么样来应用呢？所以我们来到第三段第四句，也就是第三题的时候，我们就看到诶，怎么样应用，那第三题一不就进去了吗？比如说政治人物又如何如何。那我们看一下前后文有没有通顺，在第三段的第五句的地方看到的 similarly 同样的 in therapy 在治疗的时候 counselors 就会说诶，先稍微讲一点点啊，然后接下来就会越讲越多。那当然来到最后面我们还是有两个选项要二选一，对不对？所以最后一个其实不是很好选哦，因为最后一段的第一句他说啊，当然这个技巧就可以帮助你可以主动的要求你要行销的时候可以利用这样的手法，可是同时你也要小心啊，也要会保护自己，有没有？所以第一句跟第二句啊，这个 at the same time 就是关键，所以最后一题答案选 B。 以上是我们今天内容，我是安娜，我们下次见。
That's it for today. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program. And also, don't forget to check out our extra content on YouTube and Facebook. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.